Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Hey, 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 everybody. Welcome back to the WOW. This is Mike Agovino, and I am here with Woody Overton.
What's up, Woody? What's up? Actually, we're recording this early in the morning on the 4th of July. So happy 4th of July to you and to everybody that's listening to this after the 4th. I hope y'all had a great, fun, feel safe 4th of July.
Same here. Be careful out there. Every time I see Woody, he's got a new injury. He's got a finger wrap there because he lost a fight with a brisket, apparently.
Like 2 weeks ago, yeah. And I was slicing a brisket and sliced the tip of my finger off. And I didn't go to the hospital, so whatever.
Hospitalization is only for life-threatening
exactly
stuff. That's the way it goes?
No way I was going back to the hospital. So.
Well, the doctors would have probably all ran to the parking lot if they saw you coming. Yeah,
right.
We are going to go tonight to get on this riverboat and watch the fireworks. Hopefully the weather will cooperate. I've never done that in the 4 years
we've been
here, so
it's gonna be hot.
I'm excited to do that.
It'll cool down, and you know, normally I'm always on the water somewhere for the 4th of July, all the years on the lake and everything else, or my buddy's camp at Kokajuri watching the fireworks from the water. So that's a pretty cool experience no matter where you do it. I think y'all will enjoy that. So it's a good one time to do it. And I'm sure drinks will be flowing and all that. So,
It'll be
a good time.
You know, I hope you all did it. I know you're listening on the 5th, not the 4th, but especially with all the craziness going on, take a minute. I hope everybody took a minute today to say thank you for what we have here in this country. There's insanity going on around here, but there's a lot of craziness around the rest of the world. There's a lot of people living in very difficult conditions, in the middle of wars, poverty, et cetera. And we've had a nearly 250-year run here. That's gone pretty good. Can you believe we're going to have the 250th birthday of the United States in 2026?
That's crazy, right? That's crazy, but awesome. And hey, y'all, remember, you're listening to the WOW, right? This is not The Daily Show or Real Life Real Crime Original. The numbers don't lie. The show is a huge success, but you see that one person left us a 1-star review because we gave Hooters a moment of silence. Did you see that on Apple?
I was like, come on,
motherfucker. You can't take a joke, but y'all, this and like, especially today's show and what have you. It's not going to be, I'm sure there'll be some true crime, but, it's just about everything outside of that, basically. So if you're going to get offended, turn this shit off now.
Well, let's get rocking, and let's start with a Woody was right, Aggo was wrong, and I'm happy to give you the nod on this one. But last week we recorded Friday's show on Thursday, and so we recorded it before the debate actually happened. And I told you that I believed that Trump was walking into a trap and that he was kind of foolish and a little bit too much bravado in accepting all of these ridiculous terms to do the debate on CNN with CNN anchors, with the mic going out when it's not your turn, with no audience, and all the other rules that I thought were very much stacked against him with this big home field advantage for Biden. And all Biden really needed to do was, it's like, kick a 30-yard field goal in an indoor stadium and you win, right? And,
yeah.
But he couldn't kick.
No. He couldn't. I didn't watch it. Like I told you, I wasn't going to watch it. But even today, it's still about how bad Biden fucked it up.
It was hard to watch. It was very hard to watch. But, you know, it's a week later. It's been talked out by everyone. And now, you know, the aftermath, there's a lot of stuff going on. We'll get to a little bit of it later. But let's get rolling. We got our first new segment. It's called Woody Does Gossip. And he's going to talk to us about some show called 90 Day Fiancé and a woman named Shekinah Garner.
My wife's going to love this shit. And I was watching Outback Opal Hunters or some shit last night. I wasn't watching this, but I'm going to tell you about this show anyway. I don't watch the show, but apparently the premise is that you go through some kind of selection process where you get paired up with someone, right? It's called 90 Day Fiancé. And I think the idea is the couples match up and then they get engaged or whatever. And at the end of the 90 days, they determine if they maybe want to get married or not, I think. Well, Shekinah Garner is now engaged to this Turkish guy named Sarper.
Yeah, he's like Cher. He only has one. He's a one name guy, Sarper.
Is that cool? I guess so. But shortly, before Garner moves to Turkey with this guy, right, to see if they're going to do the deal, he tells her that he has had sex with over 2,500 females. Well, she didn't really appreciate it so much, and she starts thinking about nastiness and shit, and I'm sure she was thinking about STDs, but at least she did. She asked him, she said, you know what, dude, if you did that, can you at least get rid of your bed before I get there or buy a new one?
Oh my God.
You know, and I don't think that's too much for her to ask, but it seems like she should have made some other requests as well. But anyway, she gets to Turkey.
Yeah, I can think of it.
Yeah, she goes in his bedroom for the first time, and he obviously hasn't gotten rid of his bed. Now, how can she tell? Because it's a piece of shit bed that's still falling apart. And, you know, it's like, it's got cuts in the leather or whatever the covering is, and stuffing's coming out of it. And she said, I asked you to get rid of this bed. And he tells her, but it's so comfortable. I sleep better. Right. And she looks at the headboard, which is like really freaking nasty. Right. And she says to the camera, I just hate thinking about what could have caused the headboard to look the way that it does. I'm sure she did. Right. All the banging and the claw marks and whatever. But, for now, believe it or not, it looks like, Shekinah is hanging in and giving Sarper a chance. I don't know.
Wow.
I'm pretty sure. I don't know. Buy another bed, motherfucker. Yeah.
Well, there's no telling how much freaking disease, but okay. I don't know what these people look like, but most of these reality shows, you're dealing with younger people, right? So maybe Sarper could be 35 or something.
I don't know.
Maybe.
Shit, he might be.
Well, let's just say he's 35.
Yeah.
Let's say he's 35 and let's say he started at 15 just to get a round number. So he's got 20 years, right? So 20 years is like 7,300 days.
Yeah.
So 2,500. So basically
one every 3 days. Yeah.
Yeah. A different woman. That's not total. That's a unique number. That's like reach cum. It's
right.
It's 2,500 different women once every 3 days. So life in Turkey must have been good, but there's no way somebody who's done that isn't carrying a bunch of shit. You don't want.
He should have kept that fucking number to himself. What's the advantage of telling her you slept with 2,500 females? Or had sex with 2,500 females.
I don't know.
But,
Now, I have a question. I know swim had, you know, his share of the ladies back in the day. Was there a cutoff number if swim was you know, honing in on something and they were in conversation and she said, yeah, I've had 50. Is 50 a runaway number for swim? Or
I can assume, from a female, fuck, I'm not asking that. I don't want to know. Swim didn't want to know. I mean, because then she might turn around and ask swim how many you've been with. And I'm not telling that shit because,
well,
swim's number was somewhere. Either.
Swim's number is somewhere below Sarper's, though, right?
I would guess so. No answer on that.
I would hope so. What are your swim's? Probably looking at a hospital bed next to your old.
Swim was recently in the hospital for 8 days, and they tested him from everything from the devil to Jesus, and he's clean. Other than the brucellosis,
Kalina as a whistle. Okay, all right. Let's move to an interesting case. This involves a woman who is now 81 years old, named Mary Jo Bailey.
She's a looker, too, boy.
She is a looker.
She's a hottie.
This all went down in Wisconsin, in Polk County, Wisconsin.
My people.
I don't know. Is Polk close to where you guys are?
I don't know where it's at, but all of Wisconsin is just cool as fuck. I love Wisconsin.
I originally saw the story and thought this was happening in Brady Judd land, but this is Wisconsin. So this 81-year-old woman named Mary Jo Bailey was sentenced to life on Tuesday, this Tuesday, July 2nd. This is after she was convicted of the first-degree murder of a woman named Yvonne Menke. The conviction comes 38 years after the December 12, 1985 murder of her romantic rival. Other than her lack of denial, Ms. Bailey has not admitted what she did. She has not taken accountability for her actions. She has shown no remorse. That's according to Assistant District Attorney Hollywood Webster. She said that, in fact, she told the bailiff after she was convicted that she can now retire and not worry about it. So there's a really weird situation here where the laws that were in effect in Wisconsin at the time of this murder in 1985 allowed for probation after 19 years.
Yeah, that's crazy.
This woman's 81. The woman's 81. So,
yeah.
And the way the dates fall, she would be 101 years old before she was eligible for probation. But yet this has been made a big thing between the defense and the prosecutors and the judge. Effectively, it's a life sentence. If the lady lives to be 101, you know, miracle. And, I don't think she's going to be much of a threat to society if she got out at 101. But look, she had 38 years of walking free after murdering this woman. And the way this cold case got solved is pretty interesting. The case wasn't reopened until 2021. So it went dormant in 85 and wasn't reopened until 21 when a tipster reported that there was a love triangle going on between Bailey and Menke over a man by the name of Jack Owen. And so that led to a bunch of fresh investigation, and enough evidence in the case was still available. They were actually able to match shoe prints in the snow from back in the day to shoes that Bailey had and still had. I mean, it's kind of crazy, but 38 years later, they capture her, arrest her, and she is going away for technically life. If she makes it through 19 years, yes, she's eligible for parole and at age 101.
Yeah. Well, any prison life span isn't as long as if she's living outside on the outside. So it's definitely a death sentence.
I thought the judge's comments in this case were noteworthy. You know a lot better than I do about this, but he said it was the first time that he had done this. So the judge apparently took the jury to the crime scene. So they went, the crime scene was in this town called St. Croix Falls. And they walked the narrow stairs of the apartment from the vantage point where you entered this small bathroom where her daughter was looking out the window and saw the murderer running away. They walked down this flight of stairs to the spot where they were first stabbed, where the Mankey woman was first stabbed, and then she was, first shot, and then she was shot again at the base of the stairs with two bullets in the head. And the judge said that it was an incredibly powerful thing to take the jury back to that location and relive the crime. Now, I remember they did that with the Simpson. Didn't Judge Ito do that with the Simpson jury where they went to the to the house?
And we had it done in crimes that are part of, investigated, et cetera. It's almost like, first of all, when somebody gets murdered, the jury wants somebody to pay for it, right? Regular people and shit. And I almost think it's an unfair advantage for the prosecution to be able to take them out there. But you got pictures and stuff anyway. But you go out there and you walk somebody's last steps, or you stand where, like one case I went, you stand where a little girl burn up and was talking to the fireman before she died and all that. It's pretty dramatic to stand there. It's like being on a World War II battlefield. You think, oh my God, these people died here.
And that's either the prosecution or the defense makes the request, and then the judge makes a decision whether the judge thinks it's.
I think one of them we did, they actually got it overturned on appeal that the judge, that it would have been inflammatory or whatever. But there was some other circumstance too, but I can't think of it right now. Yes, definitely. They have to make the request, and of course, they're going to argue about it or whatever, but ultimately it's up to the judge.
Well, crazy story. 38 years later, the bad woman is finally behind bars and going to be there in all likelihood for the rest of her life up there.
And that's where she deserves to be. Fuck her. Yeah. It's not like she's going to be scaling any fences and running to the Waffle House, right?
No, she's not.
She's in her 80s already.
A few years back, Ms. Jerry was complaining about having hot flashes and being sleep deprived. I was dealing with what experts call her mild mood swings. With all the sympathy I could muster, I would just tell her to have a cocktail or two before bed and that it would go away. I didn't know it was the beginning of menopause, but she did. She probably went to five doctors trying to find the right diagnosis. And while all that was going on, I renamed the house the Death Star and stayed away as much as I could. What Miss Jerry and I didn't know is while all of that was going on, an Aussie by the name of Matthew Murphy was formulating a solution. Murphy's secret is his understanding of the communication channel between your gut and your brain. Murphy tapped into that communication channel, realizing that no two women are the same. That's why he created a holistic solution that adapts to a woman's unique needs and rebalances their entire system from the inside out. That solution is called Hormone Harmony. So if you're enduring hormonal changes and dealing with stress, digestive issues, mood swings, erratic sleeping patterns, and your husband has a bar stool with his name on it down at the corner bar, take your life back. Reduce your menopause symptoms now. Try Hormone Harmony. Real Life, Real Crime, The Daily Show, and now the WOW listeners all get 15% off with our code RLRC. Just visit happymammoth.com and use code RLRC at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and code RLRC at checkout for 15% off.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com.
All right, let's go to Texas, Tejas. And y'all, Miss Jerry, you need to close your ears.
This is definitely Texas man.
Yeah, Texas man brutally killed his wife's dog, claiming that she loved it more than him. Now, Pengefi G, it's P-E-N-G-F-E-I, and the last name J-I, so I don't know if I got it right. But anyway, fuck him.
I think he did.
Yeah, he's 31 years old. He inflicted serious injuries on his wife's teacup Pomeranian during an argument at the Richmond home Friday evening. G picked up the small dog by its hind legs and swung it over his shoulder into a doghouse multiple times before leaving its body in the yard. Right? Awesome for him, right? You know, the incident, here's what's really fucked up. The incident was captured in surveillance footage. Now, why would anyone do such a thing to a harmless animal? Well, supposedly G's wife loved the dog more than she loved G. And I don't know about that, but the dog was taken to a vet in Cinco Ranch where it was pronounced dead. The vet called local authorities to report the incident, and G was arrested and charged with third-degree felony cruelty to animals. He may also be charged with evidence tampering due to allegations that he deleted the incriminating surveillance footage from his wife's phone after it was viewed by police. Now, the officer, no, I don't understand that. If you fucking see it on the phone, you take that phone into evidence immediately. I mean, it's part of a crime, but evidently they didn't. But the officer who initially saw the video noted in his report that he would like to never see the heinous footage again. Well, I don't guess he's going to. But this just leaves me speechless, Constable Chad Norvell said of the troubling arrest. The teacup Pomeranian was beaten to death against his own doghouse. I'm glad we're able to put him in jail, and he'll face justice for his horrendous action. I send my condolences to his wife on the loss of her precious companion.
I mean, look, what the dude, fuck? I got news for you. Three quarters of the women out there love their dogs more than they love their husbands.
Yeah, right?
It's numbers at least 50%.
I mean, three quarters of the men out there love their dogs more than they love their wives. Yeah. But sometimes you have
that, that's
medium.
Possible.
That other quarter too, is a happy medium. But yeah, that's
dude. Just, I've now got crazy, and you know what those Pomeranians look like? They're these little puffy dogs with these tiny little faces, really cute. I mean, it's a foo-foo dog. What a nut job! But you know, I've now got two dogs most nights that are sleeping between me and my wife, but they don't sleep between me and my wife. They form like a force field around my wife.
Yeah,
it's like, you ain't getting near this. And so unless you figure out a way to get us out of the room. So I've got a plan for them to get groomed so I can get them out to the groomer and be gone for 2 or 3 hours. So I have a shot at, I mean, it's ridiculous.
Well, there you go.
But I'm not going to pull a Texas Pomeranian on the dogs. I love them as well. No, but it's
that dude's got some serious trouble coming his way, right? And some serious hatred. Freaking, so,
what's his name? Peng Fei G. Peng Fei G.
Yeah.
Well, I would think they could put him away for a while on that one, right? I mean, that's not a that's I'm not sure a 6 month deal, right?
Yeah. No. That's definitely going to be a felony. But I don't understand how you lose the fucking video footage. You're like, okay, let me look at it and then give the phone back to him? Come on, man. I mean,
he ripped it out of his wife's hands. But I would think that would be in her cloud account. I mean, she's taking a video on iPhone or whatever, that the video would still live somewhere. But
if I have cloud linked to my shit, I don't even know about it. So who knows? Maybe they'll find it.
People do, because you don't want to use that much of your hard drive up on your phone. If you're retaining video, you're using up a lot of your hard drive space on your phone. But
shit, I got videos and shit that go back 10 or 15 years or since they ever put a camera on the phone. But anyway. On these iPhone things.
Yeah, but you probably just have the thumbnail there and you've got to click on it and then it's got to download it from the cloud before you can watch it, most likely. I doubt
outside.
You. Yeah, it's
outside
probably.
Outside my wheelhouse.
It's probably that. But speaking of outside both of our wheelhouses, let's talk about these pride parades for a minute.
Yeah.
Look, I'm a libertarian. I'm a conservative. But I consider myself socially liberal. I mean, at least fairly liberal on the social side. I mean, what you do behind closed doors in your own home, hey, power to you, the ability to get married, all of those things, really no issue with that. And, you know, I don't know that we need a Pride Month where we got 30 days worth of LGBTQ plus celebration all over the country. But I don't think any favors were done for their cause by the behavior on, I guess, the last day of Pride Month, which would be June 30th. There are Pride parades all around the country. And a few of these parades turned into just out and out debauchery. I mean, just unbelievable. In New York, the parade culminates at Washington Square Park, which I don't know if you've ever been down there, but it's Washington Square Park is right at NYU. It's like West 4th Street near Broadway. And it's a big park. It used to be, when I lived in New York, it was a huge drug dealing park. If you wanted to just buy anything for the night, you just stop there, and in 2 minutes you had whatever you wanted to buy, right? But yeah,
that was before you kicked the crack habit, right? Like,
yeah, that was in between crack and meth. But
New Jack City style. Yeah.
But the fights, I mean, the videos and the fights in that park, I mean, kicking the living shit out of each other, just all over the place. I mean, the cops couldn't keep up with what was going on, and just fight after fight after fight. I mean, I thought this was a celebration of pride, of, you know, whatever you're, wherever you fall on the spectrum of LGBTQ plus, you're celebrating that. And this is that you're supposed to be, you know, proud to represent who you represent. And yet you're ending up in a park kicking the crap out of each other. I just think it was a horrible look. And if you haven't seen any of that, I'll post the video so you can watch some of it. But
let me say something real quick. I don't even know what LGBTQ plus means, but not by, you know, ignorance, because I give a fuck one way or the other. Some of my best friends are gay. That's how I classify. I guess I'm old school. Like, good friends. I got family members, close family members that are gay. I don't know what all these initials and shit are. So I don't give a shit. They do, you know, whatever they want to do. It's how they treat me as a person. And one of my best buds, I'm not going to say the name, that I'm working on the case with right now, is okay. And I don't care. I mean, we drink beer together. We fish together. We do whatever, you know, they don't get in my business. I don't get in theirs. I probably got some initials or whatever my initials are. I don't know about it. Fights and shit. I mean, you know, I guess anytime you add alcohol, it's no different in Bourbon Street for Mardi Gras. Yeah, alcohol, people act a fool. I'm sure there are plenty of good people there who didn't want the fights to happen, and they're truly there for the pride thing. Now, I can remember it, and I think I know you can remember in the 90s when AIDS was rampant and stuff like that, and the gay people didn't have any type of pride praise. I mean, actually, you didn't tell people. Especially in the military and everything else. So I don't, you know, have your Pride Month and do whatever. That's great. People, you know, throwing down and acting a fool. That's human nature. The cops, not really one that, you know, to break it up. They could have broke it up, but if I was there, I'd let them fight as long as there's no weapons involved. I let them fight until they get tired. Then you arrest them after they're tired, so they don't fight you.
Well, in San Francisco, it took on a whole nother level.
Yeah.
Some of the stuff that was going on there. So there was this organized group. I don't know how many of them there were. I don't know how many Viagra pills they all swallowed before they went marching. But I'd say 16, maybe 20, marching in order with full erections naked through the streets of San Francisco. Yeah. That was one lovely video I saw. Another was a guy who, and this happened in something they called the fetish zone, which was supposed to be designated as an 18 plus area. And you can see from the video that clearly nobody was checking IDs in this area. This guy was in a plastic kiddie pool that was full of piss. People were peeing on this guy all day long, and he's laying in it, and you're watching people go up and just whiz on the guy. And I mean, come we're celebrating who you are. 30 days, you've got this celebration of all of that. Do it with class. Respect the other people who aren't like you, because they're showing their respect for you by giving you these permits and surrendering these cities to your event and your parade. I just think it's unbelievably disrespectful to the community to have this stuff devolve into this kind of craziness.
That kind of shit is disrespectful to every gay person or LGBTQT++, whatever, respectable person that truly is having pride in the month. And that shit, that's on the cities. And on the police part, San Fran, I don't know what the fuck their policing policy is, but you got guys walking down the street with hard-ons and for all the world to see. Some kid saw that somewhere. I have a problem with that. The pistol on the guy all day long, whatever. At some point, they need to be fucking taken out of that equation. Arrest them. I don't give a fuck if you straight, gay, whatever the fuck, the androgynous, or whatever the fuck. If you are doing that kind of shit, that doesn't need to be in public. I don't care if it's an adult zone or whatever. That is indecent. And I think all the good people in that community would agree with me.
Well, and I think that's what's going to stop it, and you're starting to see it, is people who have been part of the gay community for years before a lot of these additional letters and different interpretations joined sort of the club, if you will, and these parades got wild. I think those people want to have it sort of back the other way, and so I think you're seeing some of this get... factionalized, and
it's going to happen on the next one. Maybe not in San Fran. I don't know. Maybe not in NYC, but they're going to make an example out of somebody next time. Cause you know, obviously this got a lot of coverage. Obviously, like you said, the people that are part of the community are actually out there for the pride part. They got to get it back, hopefully, right? And hopefully they're going to step up. Well, somebody's going to step up.
For some point, somebody's going to get hurt at one of these, badly. There are people in New York got hurt, but I mean, somebody could die with some of the foolishness that's going on.
Like the fights in New York City, I've had a guy just punch another guy outside, in a crowd like this outside of a bar and knocked the guy down. The guy got up, went and got in his truck and went to sleep because he had hit his head on the cement. He just went to sleep and died in the truck. Now that dude's in prison, the one that punched him. They ought to be thankful that didn't happen. But I'm more concerned with a bunch of dicks naked and my kids seeing it. I remember my kids are grown now pretty much, but the shit like that shouldn't, I mean,
anybody. Well, and the culture,
decency.
And the culture in San Francisco, at least for some, is parents bringing their, 13, 14, 15 year olds to watch this parade and seeing this stuff. I mean, it's just crazy. Let's go to Australia where things are normal.
I don't
think things are that normal in Australia. But.
Land down on a shout out to our lifers out there. Some of the best. I was supposed to go for 4 weeks. Right when COVID hit, it was 2 weeks, four shows. And we have some of our best fans out there. Right. But an Australian mother of four has been charged with fraud. This shit pisses me off. After sharing a video on social media in which she pleads for donation when she got on there, y'all, and saying, I got cancer, I need donations, blah, 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 playing on human emotions. Right. So police say that Tara Inica 35 gained roughly $37,000 in donations while lying about having cancer. Now, she was the beneficiary of a GoFundMe fundraiser, which fooled donors into giving her money to battle a purported cancer diagnosis. The GoFundMe page was set up by another man who stated the fundraiser was to assist a woman who is known to him who had been diagnosed with a rare medical condition. At this time, police say there is no evidence that the male person who created the GoFundMe account was aware it was a fraud.
She conned him into doing this.
So in a video, which remains uploaded on YouTube, Inika says, "I've never been the type of person that's ever asked anyone for help. And in the past couple weeks, I've learned that it's okay to ask for help." Choking back tears, she then tells viewers that she was diagnosed with breast and cervical cancer. She then says the money being raised for her would be used for treatments that would potentially save my life. Now, she tells the viewers, again, continue playing on heartstrings. She tells the viewers about her four children and shows photos of her with them. Breaking down at the end of the minute-long video, she explains that she's raised the money, in quotations, y'all, so that I can be here for my kids to watch them grow up before a man comes to the frame and hugs her, right? She also implores users to spread the hashtag, hashtag stand with Tara. Yeah, fuck her. Authorities were shocked when they were alerted to the existence of another YouTube page, which posted video more recent than the GoFundMe account's launch date. And in that video, Inika describes herself as an aspiring boxer from Western Australia, who is also a mother four, and says she is working full-time in the community care sector. And it wasn't long before the Western Australian police put it all together, and Inika received donations from more than 500 people in 16 different countries. And of course, deposit all the cash, or the loot, if you will, from these GoFundMes, et cetera, into her bank account, because she's
so there's no telling what she ended up with. She had started with $37,000 or something, but
God. Well, I mean, who knows what she got, right? Like you said, yeah, but she hadn't entered a plea yet or anything. She's due back in court in August. But
I don't know what Australian law is, but first of all, what an idiot. You're there posting other video about your real life, which is that you're an aspiring boxer working full time in the community care sector or whatever the heck she said. Feel bad for the guy that she conned into doing this with her. I bet he feels bad about it, but
feel bad for
maybe they can get the people their money back. Woody, you know what's kind of a shame about that story? I happen to know that her family had already reached out halfway across the world to Roy, Kristen, and Kristen at Louisiana Funeral Services to arrange for her care and service.
Aggo, I know people come from far and wide to have their loved ones taken care of by our friends Roy and the two Kristens under that humongous American flag and broussard. I don't think they come all the way from Australia.
Well, I guess I'll have to do a fact check on that one, Woody, but why wouldn't they? Wouldn't you go any distance to see to it that your mother, father, wife, husband, family member, fur baby, or critter receive the absolute best care available?
Yeah, I would, but I think I might restrict it to this continent. It could get a bit pricey flying an entire family from Australia for the service. Fuck. But folks, if you're anywhere just a little bit closer to Broussard than Sydney, Australia, and you should require such services, you know where to go.
That's right. You drive under that recently renamed humongous American flag and broussard, or you go to lafuneralservices.com or lapetcrematory.com. That's lafuneralservices.com and lapetcrematory.com.
Rest easy.
Well, Woody, I think when we did the show for last Friday, the Supreme Court had just given the ruling on the Murphy versus Missouri case, the one about censorship, and we were sort of, I was anyway, down on the court a little bit. And then there was a rapid fire succession of rulings that have come out in the past week. The Fisher ruling, which applied to this obstruction of an official proceeding. And the long and the short of that one is that the court found that that case, which applies to most of the January 6th defendants, does not apply. The official proceeding being obstructed, the way that law is interpreted, it really came out of Enron, and it's about the destruction of records or papers or something in the middle of an investigation, not an event that's going on like the delivery of electorals like was going on that day. The one that's confused a lot of people, I think, is this Chevron deference case. It's a lot to get into, but it's a really important ruling. We're not going to get into the nitty gritty of it, but it's a ruling that stands to really impact the bureaucracy in Washington. You hear a lot of times about the deep state or the administrative state, or some people call it permanent Washington, but all of these 3- and 4-letter agencies that exist in Washington, most of which have been built up significantly over the years as those organizations have really interpreted laws and then enforced laws rather than Congress writing legislation to become law, right, and that legislation being specific enough so that interpretation isn't really required. And so there's a lot of critics of this out there, but basically I think it's a very good thing. It will allow for a leaning out of that deep state, that administrative state, and putting a lot of the power to make decisions in cases back in the hands of judges. And then the one that's been the most controversial is this presidential immunity case. And I think it's ironic for a lot of reasons, but both sides are sort of overplaying their hand here. I think the conservatives are saying, hey, this is no big deal. Of course, a president needs to have certain immunities. Otherwise, who the heck's going to want to be president, because you can be charged for anything and everything you did in office as president the minute you're out of the office. On the other side, I think the liberal view of this is a little bit clouded because of the timing of this, but the liberal view is that, you know, no one's above the law and the president needs to be accountable for their actions. There's been some great exaggeration about what a president can do. You've had a lot of people posting that, well, if Donald Trump wanted to take SEAL Team 6 and have them go assassinate a political opponent, he'd be free to do that. Well, no, he wouldn't be free to do that. There's absolute immunity given to the president in the course of the day-to-day things he's got to do as a president, interfacing with his cabinet, et cetera, et cetera. But there's a presumption of immunity for everything he does as president, but that presumption can be challenged if, for instance, it was a situation like that where, yes, they're in the presidential role, but then they go and do something. They didn't have any approval from the cabinet. It wasn't discussed internally. It's a rogue act, so to speak, that they can't just go do that. And then there's stuff that they do. They may be president, but they're doing in their private capacity, like running for office. They're doing as a candidate, not a president, and anything that they do in that sort of a circumstance is not immune from anything. And so, like I said, I think it's you can read this half full, you can read this half empty, but the reason that we've gone nearly 240 years without needing anything like this is no one has ever charged a president with a crime when they're out of office. And so there's a lot of unprecedented things that have happened post Trump's term. And since these charges have been brought against him, his lawyers filed with the court to review this, and the court was put in a position where they had to declare certain things immune. I mean, you can't say that a president doesn't have certain immunities. They have to have certain immunities. Otherwise, you can't do the job and no one would ever want to do the job. And I could come up with a reason you could jail President Bush for weapons of mass destruction that didn't exist, or Obama for murder for two innocents and a drone strike. I could do Biden for any number of things. I mean, pretty much
any president in the history of time has done something, right? But they were doing it, trying to do their job.
Yeah. And essentially the court was in this new era where it's so ugly between the parties that anybody will go after anybody for any reason. They were forced to put some kind of a stamp on this. And I think the most telling part is that of all the justices, the one who really kind of sits in the middle, even though he's quote unquote a conservative, is Justice Roberts, who did the opinion on this thing. And I think that tells you all you need to know, because if it's coming from Roberts, this is somebody who believes in a minimalist court and wants those decisions pushed down and generally falls right in the middle. And so I think this is a decision that really fell in the middle. I just happen to think the timing is unfortunate, if that's the right word, for Democrats, unfortunate for the left, because, you know, they have the New York case that Trump was supposed to be sentenced on July 11th that is now pushed back to September because there's a lot of this immunity ruling that impacts what he's been charged with. This ruling really, really damages their case with Special Prosecutor Jack Smith, and that could go away altogether. And so that's why Biden came out screaming about this the other day, is because of the timing of it. Because when you look at it from 1,000 feet, there's probably no one who stands to benefit from it more than Biden. Because if things just went along the way that they appear to be going, and he were to lose this election, and this wasn't in place, just think of the number of things, the number of charges they can be brought. So that was very much a nutshell. I know I'm just doing it from 10,000 feet, but that was those decisions.
Menards has the best in-stock selection of AC2 pressure-treated lumber, all easy to load in our drive-thru lumber yard. Choose from our huge inventory of boards, decking, fencing, lumber, and timbers to build your project to last. Plus, you can get free estimates fast with our deck and fence design programs at Menards. Number one in customer satisfaction among home improvement retailers, according to J.D. Power. For more information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Save big money at
Menards. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And then, you know, the other thing is we've got sort of the aftermath of the debate and what's going on right now across the Democrats' world, where for the first time in years, the mainstream media is not aligned with the administration. And you've got calls for a removal of President Biden coming from places like CNN and the New York Times and certain other people, certain governors, certain senators, et cetera. There's a major split going on. He had 20 governors come in to Washington last night for a dinner where he told them in no uncertain terms that he is not leaving. So he is fighting with everything he's got to retain the office, while you've got roughly half of the folks on the left fighting to get him out. The polls, the latest polls that have come in, show a fairly significant widening of the gap between Trump and Biden post-debate. But they also show that there really isn't that you couldn't expect to run Kamala Harris and have her do better than Biden. And as far as getting past that, I mean, Biden would have to resign or be forced out on the 25th Amendment. And then the Democrats would have to come up with some way that Kamala Harris doesn't automatically become the candidate. They'd have to convince her to also resign or accept some kind of alternative position and then put brand new people in. And so we're really looking at, does Biden stay in and fight the rest of the way? Does he step aside either peacefully or through 25th Amendment possibly? And then you've got Harris. And the only way to keep all the money that's been raised is if it's Harris, because the campaign finance rules do not allow you to move that. So there's $200 million of funding sitting there that can only be used by Biden or Harris. But if they got both of them out of there, then there's a number of governors. Basically, you've got massive infighting. You've got stuff you've never seen, and you've got, for the first time, it now obvious to the American people that the media has been lying to them for a long time about his condition, about a lot of things going on inside of that administration, and the public, especially independents, are reacting to that in a pretty meaningful way in there.
I think the Democrats are fucked regardless. After the debate, and I didn't even watch it, but like you said, it's over a week. And again, this morning, all the lead stories that I were reading are about him and what they're going to do. And, you know, some meme said something to the effect of letting Biden run again would be the equivalent of letting the Titanic run over the iceberg and then back over it again on purpose. So I don't know what they're going to do, but I do not believe that there's any chance in hell they're going to let him run again. Because if they do, whatever side you're on, they're giving the election to Trump. It's obviously, well, the dude has issues. Look, I saw it before, and I didn't watch the debate, but he's all the different shit. If you go back and watch the, he says the stupidest, most random shit. And you know what? I'm dealing with someone in my personal life that is on that level, but is not as protected. You know what I'm saying? And the super genius guy, and just comes up with stuff that I know what it is. But
no, it's been obvious. It's been obvious really since the campaign in 20, but it has deteriorated significantly. But he had an entire administration, and he had the entire mainstream media running blocker for him. And that, I mean, think about just 2 weeks ago, we were hearing about cheap fakes, that these videos that were going on around the internet that had not been edited were, you know, selectively interpreted, and the picture angles that were being shown, et cetera, were intentional to make it look like the president didn't have all of his faculties, when, you know, none of that was true. You had the press secretary arguing with the reporters over whose fault cheap fakes was 2 days ago. I mean, it's crazy. So the news media has been exposed for the phonies that they are. And what they're doing right now is they're scrambling to try to retain any thread of credibility they can by now aggressively challenging the situation and pretending they didn't know it was there all along, when anybody and everybody knows it was there all along. And so it's going to have a significant impact on the country moving forward. And it'll be really wild to see how this thing wraps up over the next 7 months. So yeah, lots and lots going on, buddy.
Definitely. And unfortunately, we haven't heard the last of it. It's just going to go on forever.
That is for sure.
They need to have another debate like next week and make it like three times as long with the same rules. and see what happens. Yeah. If anybody has a fucking doubt in their mind, I actually would watch this one. I get a case of beer and watch it if they had another one immediately.
If I'm Trump, there's no way I'm giving you a second chance. I played all your rules and, you know, gave you the 30-yard chip shot field goal and you blew it. And there's also,
I'm sure they prepared the fuck out of Biden before this thing and he just still blew it. And that's what I'm saying. Heavyweight rematch, do another one, but double the amount of times
But there's nothing in it for Trump to do that, right? At this point,
Biden coming out like he did last time, but worse because you give him double the time to screw it up.
But what does that do for if I am rooting for Trump, they're gonna
pull him in. The one thing Trump doesn't want now is somebody besides Biden running an election.
Exactly. So don't give him a reason to switch out. Run against this guy. You're running well ahead of him. Don't make any mistakes the rest of the way in. It doesn't look like any of these trials are really going to be able to take place beforehand. And so if I'm him, I'm going to ask him to do the hardest thing that he's ever been asked to do, which is
shut up.
Be quiet, too. Just chill out. Go play some golf and relax a little bit over these next months. But that won't happen. So it'll be interesting to see what the heck does. But anyway, maybe they could settle it in a golf match. That's the way, given that debate that they should settle. That to me, that was the best moment of the debate because nothing Biden said the whole debate pissed off Trump. His face was pretty much the same expression all the way through the debate. And then when Biden had the gall to say that he was a 6 handicap,
Trump set him off.
Trump got indignant over the false claims of his golf prominence from Biden. So anyway, this is fun, dude.
Yeah, it was awesome. Another good episode. And y'all take the time to like and share and tell your mother's uncle's plumber about us and about the WOW. And we will be back on Monday.
Everybody have a great weekend. Enjoy the rest of your 4th of July weekend. And we'll be back at you Monday.
Don't forget, on Monday, at the end of the episode, we're going to be continuing the Nittany Lang discussion. And as we will on every Monday episode at the end of it until we reach a conclusion. Right?
Yeah. And this Monday, we are talking about, with the benefit of hindsight, episode 2, which is called Panic. So if you want to listen to that episode before listening to the WOW, it's with the benefit of hindsight, episode 2, Panic.
Yep.
Have a great weekend, folks. We'll be back at you Monday.
We'll do. Y'all be safe. Peace.
Haglets.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.